Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Thomas Ramji, a best-selling science writer whose latest book is The End of Aging, How Biotechnology is Redefining Human Life and What It Means for Us. It takes us on a thought-provoking journey through the possibilities and consequences of radical life extension, drawing on cutting-edge research in molecular biology, genetics and AI-driven medicine. The book examines how humanity is on the brink of a revolution, one where aging may soon become a treatable condition. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thanks a lot for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. So this is a fascinating subject that I think a lot of people have thought about or talked about the possibilities of. Why did you decide to look into it further and write a book about it?
Well, because I'm among those who've thought a lot about it, who've just thought experiments. How would it be if you could become 150 years old or celebrate your 250th birthday and so forth? And yeah, I mean, as a science writer, that's the point where you start to get interested and dig deeper into a topic. That's what I did in the book.
And I think a lot of people, when asked flippantly the question, would you like to live to 100 or 200 rather, I think a lot of people would say, yeah, absolutely. But of course, there's a lot of implications of living to the age of 200, which I guess you've looked at in the book, health being the main thing.
Yeah, that's actually, it's interesting. When I ask these questions to the audience in my keynote speeches and so forth, actually, in most audiences, the majority just says, no, I'm fine with a 90, getting 90 away and then sort of die away rapidly, sleep in and don't wake up, which is, I mean, basically very normal to say that. Sort of an approach saying that the way nature has sort of built in a normal life clock into our bodies and into our minds is possibly the best way to live a life. And then you have, in most audience, says a third of the people who would say, I wouldn't mind to get 150 or so, as old as a giant tortoise, or maybe 200 years, but possibly it's still good when it ends at some point. And then you have, in general, a smaller minority who basically thinks, oh, immortality sounds great, especially if I still keep an exit option so that I can commit suicide if I ever might get too bored of my life. So, I mean, even if you do that thought experiment, and if you sort of do it a little bit more systematically than most of us do, you immediately realize that, I mean, the question entails so many ins and outs. And
yeah, there's so many variables, isn't there?
More nuanced approach to it is necessary, and that's what I've tried to do to give in my book.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I said health is because, you know, if we're living for 20, 30, 50, 100 years longer than has been normally expected, you know, the first thing I think of is you'd want 100 years extra of good quality of life. There's no point living longer if we're in pain and suffering and not able to walk and don't have a sound mind and all these issues that are associated with or can be associated with getting older. That would be no fun at all, would it?
You're nailing it, Hannah. Absolutely. I mean, and that's why scientists in medicine in general, you differentiate between health span and lifespan. And I mean, with all this talk about longevity, a more intelligent look at it is first talk about how can medicine now lead to much longer health spans? And the second question that, especially in Silicon Valley or in some biotech pioneers are addressing is there an option to kill death? So to indeed sort of treat death not as something that is normal part of our lives, but it, as a disease. And can we then overcome this disease? And I think for most of us, there is an ethical consensus that extending health spans is first a goal that should be achieved, and The data right now shows that in many senses it is possible. I mean, average lifespans have doubled in the last 100 years or so, but also health spans have increased significantly, but not good enough. So if you look into the data, many, many of the old people and the very old people obviously suffer for a long time under age-related diseases. And the question medicine is now addressing, also under the big label longevity, is making these last two or three decades of a normal life much healthier than they are in average today.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a... Well, I don't know whether it's an achievable thing, but that sounds like a great goal to aim for. I mean, but you don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem to me that many people die of old age with absolutely nothing wrong with them. It's normally different health issues that kick in as they're getting older, and then that's the reason why people die. So if we can stop some of these health issues, then yeah, people can not necessarily live longer, but live healthier for the same amount of years, which is a great goal.
Absolutely correct. I mean, aging is driven by cellular and genetic damage, like telomere shortening, protein misfolding, inflammation, and so forth, and they cause age-related diseases, and that's what most people die of. And while working on these age-related diseases, sort of the forefront of science is trying to overcome the actual current barrier of getting older than, say, 110, 120, or as the oldest person in the world ever lived, 123 years, but then sort of trying to pass beyond that glass ceiling. And there is growing evidence that this could be feasible. We see it in treatments with animals, for example. You can sort of let mice live 40% longer than normally a mouse could live. But it's not for sure that this goal can be achieved. The interesting thing is there are very rich people who invest a lot of money in that, possibly because their character traits come to the conclusion that a planet without them might be worse off, which might not be
necessary. Yes, I'm sure they think that. Yes.
If you look at who's investing in these sort of glass ceiling breaking technologies, it's the usual suspects. It's Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, not as much, I think, but Peter Thiel, Sam Altman, many sort of
Elon Musk, no doubt.
Elon Musk, of course, yeah, of course. So people, mainly men in their over their best years possibly, who've become rich off the internet and now are looking for the next frontier to apply that and to hopefully gain some additional years or decades for their life.
And yeah, I do wonder these people whether they're just thinking about themselves or their loved ones. I mean, what's the use of living 50 years longer than everybody you love and having to watch everyone die around you? I mean, that wouldn't be nice either.
Well, a true narcissist might come to a different conclusion.
Quite.
That, yes, obviously that, that very long lives would mean dramatic changes for the way society works, for the way family structures work. It would obviously entail many, many questions of social justice. Who would get access to that kind of treatment? What happened to those who might decide to not want to live longer? Will there sort of be rapidly a problem of large overpopulation on the planet if nobody dies anymore and people live longer and therefore might have more kids because they have more time to get kids and so forth? We might easily, within 50 or 100 years, come to a world population of 20 or 30 billion people, which might not be, I mean, which the planet can't possibly not support, and so forth. And I mean, the funny thing is, when you look at all these longevity discussions right now, these questions are basically totally ignored. Nobody really reflects on the questions. What would it mean for you as an individual to live as long? Would that mean boredom over boredom, like in most novels that treat the subject? Or would you be able to reinvent yourself in your life several times and therefore have 200 years of very interesting, diverse, imaginative, creative life where you could also build up on competences that you might have acquired, I don't know, in a different profession when you have switched your profession 10 times within that lifespan? Or would that mean that the bodies may remain young, but the human soul is not made to age as long? So what we know from psychology is basically that it's obviously very, very hard to deal with traumata and to heal them and so forth. And in such a long time life, it might be totally unavoidable to suffer through many psychological crises that then add up to a mental burden that is hard to handle, as we already see it with very old people.
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about, I mean, the difficult health states of aging people, but that doesn't only apply to the bodies. It even more applies to the souls and to the psyche.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen and read interviews with people who have made it to 100 or even 105, 110, and it's amazing how with it some of them are. You know, in the interview, some of them are still going on, most of them are in a home, but they're still going on daily walks, some of them. They're doing puzzles and keeping their mind active. They often make a joke about having a tipple of whiskey every day and things like that. But they're living what looks to be a really great life. But then there are other people who, unfortunately, I mean, even with things like early onset dementia, I was going to say, you know, can people be aging from their 60s, 70s? I mean, we do see it much later now. But, you know, when people get things like early onset dementia, it can be decades before that. So some people are aging and seeing the effects of aging way before others. And there doesn't seem to be any consistency with it. You know, a lot of it does, you know, we know that we're supposed to eat healthy and we're supposed to exercise, but for the most part, it does seem to me that some of it is really the luck of the draw, which is quite depressing.
Yeah, well it is. It's the gene lottery where some of us we got lucky and some of us didn't as much. But I mean, basically the promise of this longevity medicine, at least of the radical fraction of it, is basically saying that thanks to gene therapy, cellular reprogramming, thanks to the fact that we know today much better what happens in the body, we now understand the hallmarks of aging. That's how they call basically the key identifiers in the body of how the decay in the human body is proceeding. And if you are sort of by hallmark are able to attack them, you might come up with sort of a whole generation of people who might have started getting their anti-aging therapies in their 40s or in their 50s, so before the decay of the body has struck too hard, and then might then sort of grow into their 120s, 130s, and 140s, by still being relatively healthy, relatively living in relatively young bodies. And that is a sort of, nobody can tell you how likely this scenario is, but it's not pure science fiction anymore. Mm. It is now futurists might call a plausible scenario. So if you look at the trends in medicine, if you look at the progress that we are making in these certain fields of high-tech medicine, of biotechnology, of molecular biology, then it becomes a plausible outlook that in the next century we might have people who will celebrate their 150th birthday or so.
I mean, obviously, at the moment, money isn't an issue because we're talking about the really wealthy investing in these kind of things and maybe having the opportunity before normal folk to maybe extend their lives. But if and when it does become more available to normal folk, the whole idea of retirement age will definitely come into question, because if retirement age is 65 on average, depending on where you live, but you're living to 150, that's a lot of years that you've got to fund yourself, whether you're healthy enough to be able to go traveling or just paying for being in a home, which, as we know, can be horrendously expensive. So having the money to live longer would be a massive issue for most, I would have thought.
Well, as always, there are two sides to it, aren't they? Well, first of all, I think it'll be very hard for the French society to keep up with longevity en masse, as they are struggling the most hardest to increase the age level for retirement. But I mean, there's a simple solution to it. I mean, people cannot retire at the age of 65 or 68, as there's are doing in Germany now. But then at the age of 100 or whatever. The good news, or the potential good news for the elderly then is that, well, they had all the time, or much more time than today, to acquire wealth. And then not live off public pension, but off the interests of their investment funds.
Yeah, so, I suppose it depends if everybody is going to live longer or just the select few, because when it's not everybody, then the retirement age just needs to change for those people. As you know, if you're still prepared to die at 80, 90, then you'd still potentially want to retire at 65. But if you know you're going to live, or hoping to live, because you've taken some medicine, to 150, then you might want to work till you're 100. So it depends. Depends on the situation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And along this line, you could also argue that people who choose to not die, or at least for a much longer lifespan, have to agree that they are not allowed to have as many children as they want in order to avoid overpopulation.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it doesn't. I mean, the state right now, population growth is obviously slowing down, and at least if nothing radically changes, humanity will reach peak population much earlier than we thought. So, within the next 15 or 20 years or so. But I mean, if that really comes into play, that a larger number of people is allowed to where it can live thanks to new medicine much longer than today, overpopulation becomes a topic again. And then obviously you will get into even much more moral and ethical trouble than with pension, because then you might have to apply a one or two child policy, as we had seen it in China a couple of decades ago. Obviously, in a liberal democracy, that is not acceptable. I mean, or at least in our current understanding of how society should work and about individual rights, you should not prohibit people from having children.
Mm. Yeah, there's so many questions, isn't there? It's definitely not a simple one. Yes, I'd like to live longer. Thank you very much. There's definitely a lot to consider. Well, if people want to find out more on this subject, they should definitely get the copy of your book. It's available on our website, tre.radio. It's called The End of Aging, and it's by Thomas Ramge, who we've been chatting with today. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
Huge pleasure. Huge pleasure. Thank you, Hannah.